Is this green or yellow? So it's okay here. It's not right? It's yellow? You just said green.
Well, there you go.
I can't tell yellow from green, so I don't know what, you know. And if you notice, I changed chairs up here when they switched the chairs the other day. That one was over here, and when I get in it, I can't get out of it. It just sinks. Right, Doc? You're over here. You understand what I'm saying. We had a tremendous ordination council yesterday, and tonight Dr. Camp will be here, and he will give the ordination challenge tonight. We're looking forward to a really tremendous evening, what God is doing. Take the Word of God this morning and go, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew. I want to talk about discovering the secret of rest. R-E-S-T. Now, when I come over here to, and I'm not referring to the body, because that's not what the text is referring to. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Let's read it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, I would ask that you would help us to understand the importance of this text, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there are three words. I'm going to give you an acrostic in a minute, but there are three words that you want to take note of. First is the word come there, if you will, please, there. Come unto me, all ye that labor not that word, but I'll get it down here. But the word take in verse 29. Take speaks of a decision. Now, he outlines in verse 1 what you need to do. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then verse 29, the first word is take. Now, that speaks of a decision. You have to make a decision. And then I find the word here, the second word, is learn. And learn of me, and that speaks of development. And then the word find speaks of discovery. Three words that are very important. Take speaks of our decision. You've got to make a decision. And then that word learn, discovery, and that word find speaks, or development, excuse me, that word find speaks of discovery. I want to take that word rest. R-E-S-T. And think about that. What is spiritual rest? Because I want to tell you something. You can be so noisy, so disturbed in your soul, you can go to bed at night and sleep 12, 15 hours and wake up tired. Because the real place of rest needs to be in your soul. So take that word rest, R-E-S-T, and I want to do a little acrostics there. R, what is rest? It is restoring your passion for God. Let me say it to you again. Restoring your passion for God. Notice the word coming to me. Again, I pointed out, coming to me here, that means take time to quiet your soul. You see, you live in a very noisy world. Matter of fact, I have found a lot of people, they don't know what to do if there's not noise. And then there are those who try to shut out the noise of the world, but there's noise in their soul. Now turn with me for a moment, but keep that place, and go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 40. We're going to turn to two very key passages that mean with me, restoring your passion for God. Look here in verse 1 of chapter 40 of the book of Psalms. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he climbed into me. He heard my cry, and he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now, that word horrible is a key word here. I draw your attention to that word because that word means a noisy pit. It means rushing to destruction. And he's referring to the soul here. A lot of people are in a very horrible pit within their soul. It is a noisy pit because they're rushing to destruction. It's nothing. It's noisy, and nothing will ruin. Nothing will rob you of your passion for God than to have a noisy soul where you can't hear God. What did he say to Elijah? Be what? Be still and know that I'm God. Over the Psalms, and he also tore the still small voice of God. Now think with me. Also another passage. So he says over here, bring me up out of that horrible pit, that noisy pit, that rushing to destruction. Then I think of another passage in the book of Daniel. So turn to Daniel, if you will, for a moment, chapter 12. He makes a very interesting statement here in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Time of the end. Then he says this, many shall run to and fro, and the knowledge shall be increased. Isn't that an interesting statement? He says, but you know what he means? People are going to be so busy. They're going to be rushing here and rushing there, and their soul's going to get so noisy. Isn't it interesting? And he says, knowledge shall increase. Listen, we can do things today they couldn't do 50 years, 100 years ago, but I tell you what, we have more noisy souls today than we did 50, probably 100 years ago, because we have no time for God in our society. Think with me, a noisy soul. What does a noisy soul sound like? Well, there's the sounds of fear and worry. Anybody here ever worry? When you're worrying and having fear, that's just your soul is extremely noisy. What are some other sounds? The sounds of discouragement and despair. Sounds of anger and bitterness. There be sounds of lust, sounds of guilt and shame, sounds of obsession and addictions. Sounds sometimes of entertainment and recreation to where we just have to fill our life with noise. Travel. Think with me for another passage of Scripture. Go back, you were near Psalm 38. Go back to the Psalms for a moment. I'm thinking here of David, who in Psalm 38, it is obvious David had a noisy soul. When I read here, and he talks there because he had lost his passion for God, and he wanted his passion restored, I believe there were three Psalms that David wrote after he committed immorality with Bathsheba. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, and Psalm 38. I believe this psalm was written because his soul was so noisy, all he could think about was the guilt that he had on his soul, and it was just speaking so loud that it robbed him of his passion for God. Look there with me to verse 8. He said, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared. Underline that word roared. It's near the same word that you found over there in chapter 40 of Psalm when he talked about rushing. He said, I'm hearing roared. He said, all I can hear is the roaring sounds of my guilt. I cannot hear God's voice. And then I go to verse 4, jumping up to verse 4. He said this, for my iniquities and all these roaring of the sounds of his sins. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. And would you note these words? They're so vital, might even underline them. They are too heavy for me. You know, I wonder if some of us underline that because that's the sounds, the heavy load of worry and depression and discouragement and despair and bitterness and lust and guilt and shame and obsession and addictions and entertainment and all these things. Wonder how if we could take the heaviness of the soul and apply it to body. I wonder if our soul would show up in our body this morning. How would we be coming into church this morning? I can't stand up straight because my soul is weighed down with my sin. My soul is weighed down of addiction. My soul is weighed down with discouragement and despair. Hi, how are you today? I'm fine. How are you? You understand what I'm saying? People who are weighed down. And David was weighed down so heavy. And he wanted to restore. It had robbed him of his passion for God. That's the R. Take the next letter. I not only see R, restoring your passion for God. That's what rest is. And I think for times when we think of rest, we say, boy, I got to get to bed and get up and start another day. And your body may get rest, but you are so weary the next day because your soul is so restless. It can only hear the sounds that trouble you. Let's go back to our text there, because we see farther here and the further in the text. He says, come unto me. And then he says, all that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's asking, he's pointing out in the text, come to him and he will. Here the E is exchanging your load of noise for the Lord of rest. Exchanging the noise that's in your soul of labor for rest. Now, I want you to notice two things in that text. I want you to notice the labor we need to remove and the load we need to remove. He deals with two words here. Heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come, a labor and heavy laden. The labor and the load. Now, I want you to be careful when I say this. I'm going to give you the reversed, not the revised, the reversed standard version of what this verse, if you don't fulfill it. Let's read the verse again. Come unto me, all that labor and a heavy laden, and I will what? Give you what? Here is the reversed standard version. He said, avoid me, if you reverse that. It means, avoid me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of fellowship and abiding, and refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me, and you'll have a noisy soul in unrest. Let me give it to you again. Avoid me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke of fellowship and abiding, and refuse to learn what I am like in order to become like me, and you'll have a noisy soul of unrest. That is the reverse standard version. You reverse that, that's exactly what it means. Now think with me for a moment about our makeup, because if you understand this laboring we need to remove, you need to think about that a little bit. Turn to a very familiar voice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me just get to not psychological, but a little thought here this morning about your makeup. Now everyone came in here this morning with a body, and I want to thank you for bringing your body to church. Please never show up without it. And what I see is your body. That's really not the most important part of you. When I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to notice something here, and I want you to notice the order God has here. Look there, if you will, please, at verse 23. And the very God of peace, oh, isn't that peace? What is rest? It's peace. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole what? Spirit, soul, and body. So you have you're a trinity, a triunity. What I see today is your body, and sometimes I see your soul, because your soul is your feeling place. But let me say to you that there are three parts of you. The spirit, that's the place where you got saved. You got born again in your spirit. Isn't that great to get born again in your spirit? You didn't get born again in your body. If you did, you wouldn't look like you do. Neither would I. You see, the Spirit is the place of fellowship, communion with God. It is so important that you realize that's the place where you're going to learn about God. Let me just say three things you will discover in your spirit with God. Number one, you will discover three things about God. Here's the first. Are you ready for this? God is always good. So I only got two amens out of that. You know what our problem is? When things go wrong in our lives, we're not too sure God is good. Now, that didn't come from our spirit relationship with God. That came from the second part of us, our soul. You see, the first part is our fellowship, and our soul is our feelings. And if your feelings are not dominated by your fellowship with God, you're going to have a noisy soul. Now, everybody has feelings. You know, a lot of times in counseling, people come in to see me, they say, I can hear it now. I feel like, if you know how I feel. We all do that. But the feelings of depression, discouragement, guilt, lust, bitterness, anger, all because we have not fellowship with God. And fellowship with God will change our attitude in our soul. We say amen to that because it's very true. It will just do something with your attitude. And so then your body is the place of fulfillment. Your body carries out what your feelings feel, which ought to be dominated by your fellowship with God. Does that make sense? I want to tell you something. If you're dominated if your soul, your feelings are dominated by fellowship with God, guess what? No matter what the problems are, you're going to be happy. You're going to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Now, so God is always good. God cannot always be and sometimes not be. Let me say that to you. God cannot always be and sometimes not be. Some people say, you know, I'm really having a rough time. God's really not good to me. You may not say that out loud, but you may feel that in your soul. Let me say again to you, God is always good. Will you say that with me? God is what? Always what? Always good. Never a time when God is not good. Listen, I want to say this reverently. God does not start each day grumpy. Sometimes we do. Do you know why we start the day grumpy? Because we haven't met with God. That's it. Mark it. That's why we wake up grumpy. We wake up grumpy. God doesn't go to sleep, but God never wakes up grumpy. He starts the day, and we know what? It's because we are dealing with our feelings instead of with our fellowship, and we have our fellowship, our feelings are going to be right, and we're not going to be grumpy. God is always good. Say it with me again. God is what? Secondly, God is always great. God is always great. Philippians 4, verse 13, say, my God shall what? Supply all your what? According to his riches and glory by Christ. Now, underline that thought for a moment. My God shall supply all your what? You ready for this? When you think of that verse, you're thinking, that's right, he's going to pay all my bills. I want to tell you some other things. God puts some testings in our life. You know why? Because we need them. God puts some real trials in our life. You know why? Because we need it. God does some things in our life that I don't like because I need it. You need it. I was raised, Dr. Finch is a medical doctor for 15 years here. We're going to ordain him tonight. But you know, truth of it is, we just didn't go to a doctor. We took, Mama said, you feel sick? If you had a fever, guess what you took? Castor oil. Have you ever tasted castor oil? It's enough to gag a maggot. Every time I was sick, Mama said, you got it, because you need this. And I want to tell you something. You stubbed your toe.
you got castor. I never could figure out how castor oil could heal a toe, but this mom gave it to us for everything.
I say this to you. Sometimes God gives us some things in our life that we need because God is not only good, but God is great. He knows we need it. Thirdly, God is always, so say it with me. First one, God is always what? God is always what? And God is always God. God is always God. He never changes and he always chooses. Let me say it to you. He never changes and he always chooses what is best for our lives. Sometimes life is full of castor oil. You know, it'd be wonderful if God, if my mama said when I got, she said, oh, son, you don't feel good, right? Here's a chocolate bar. And I'd be sick all the time. I have chocolate. Of course, you eat it and it gets sick all the time. No, God said, no, I don't give you the things that you think. I'm going to give you some castor oil. God said, I'm going to give, because God doesn't change and God chooses what is best for us. And so he wants to take us to realize if we're going to remove these loads, starts in the spirit. Spiritual relationship with God. Notice secondly on that same verse here, as we make this exchanging your load of noise for the Lord of rest. Got to remove that labor and put Christ there. But next second, how about the load we need? You know, we all have some loads we shouldn't have. You know, we have some Christians, maybe in this room this morning, you have rebellion that you have not repented of. You know what a lot of people do? Now watch what I'm going to say because it's very important. Have you sinned lately, anybody here besides me? You know what we do with sin a lot of times? We make it dormant. It's kind of laid aside. You know what sin is? It's rebelling against God. And therefore, we need to deal with it right away. And if you've got some things in your life that you haven't dealt with, you sort of laid them aside, kind of like in dormant, maybe you'll take care of them later, you're not going to have rest because you're going to have a noisy soul. You're going to be so tired. You could sleep 15 hours a day and your soul is so noisy and so restful because it has no rest because you have not taken care of those things you know God wants you to take care of. Now, not only do we, this load we need to remove is not only rebellion we have not repented of. That's what David said is what? He said it was what? Too heavy for me. Is that what he said? Psalm 38, remember that? This is too heavy for me. I'm all stooped over. And he had laid that sin that he had sinned aside for about a year. That's called the doctrine of stupidity. We didn't deal with that in the ordination last night, but maybe we should have. We have a lot of stupid things we do. He wasted a whole year of his life by not getting right with God. Second thing is this. Not only do we have rebellion we have not repented of, that's too heavy a load, but we have responsibilities we need not assume. How many have a busy life? Let me see our hands. Be careful with a busy life. Be careful with a busy life. Because sometimes we assume responsibilities we, in the will of God, we don't need to. Listen, I got news for you. Anything that you're doing is not your doing, it's God's doing. He's the master as he labors through you. And you're the messenger of what God wants to do. Last week, you probably heard, it's been a very, very busy week for me. Thursday night, we started out with ordination service, or wedding rehearsal. I'm a little tired, but not in my soul. Next, Saturday night, we had a wedding. It was a beautiful wedding, and then I had to get on an airplane, fly to California. And I got there, and I did the funeral. As soon as I said, and by the way, it was so cold there, like to freeze to death. By the way, on the coast of California, in the morning, gets up about 53, 54 degrees. The wind's blowing. I'm not used to that anymore. As soon as I said amen, I got a phone call from Michigan. Can you come? We have,
And I said to God, you never think about some things we tell God. I said, God, I'm 72 the end of this month, as though God didn't know that. It's either 27 or 72. I can't remember which it is, but anyway. And you know what? For a little short time, my soul got noisy. I said, God, what are you doing? Ever been there? God says, you're not going to perform this wedding. You're not going to perform these two funeral services. I am. You're just the instrument. I'll do all the work. You know what a noisy soul is? Is assuming responsibility that doesn't belong to us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but who lives through me? The Lord Jesus. It's his work. It's all about him. We not only, the load we need to remove with rebellion we have not repented of, and responsibilities, we don't need to assume these, but reaping, not only do we have responsibilities we need not assume, and rebellion we have not repented of, but we also have reaping we need not experience. You know what those things are? Those are things we do outside the will of God. You know, I was in Michigan, I looked at the corn. Man, it won't be, a few more months, a month or two, they're going to start reaping all the corn. I mean, it's just beautiful right there with all that corn and soybeans and everything. But you know, those farmers plant that with the idea one day there's going to be a harvest. Whatsoever you sow, you what? You know, there are a lot of people today that have a noisy soul because they're doing things they know that are outside the will of God. Just throw it. I've had them tell me that. I know I hear this. Have you ever heard anybody say, I know I shouldn't do this, but. Doing it outside the will of God. You're not going to be restful. You're going to have the noise within your soul that's going to just tear you up and tear me up because it is outside and God wants to make that exchange. Are restoring your passion for God. If not, your soul will be robbed of your passion if you do not, if you hear all that noise. E, exchanging the load of noise. Give it to him. S is seeking to be like him. Seeking to be like him. Take my yoke upon you. Go back to our passage, if you will, please. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. That speaks of a decision. Here he means look to me. Interesting. He's using this from a custom of the day. You know, when they'd take an oxen, they'd take a full-grown oxen that was used to the load of pulling whatever they do, and plowing, and they would take a smaller yoke and attach it to a younger oxen, and that younger oxen would learn from the older oxen what to do. Isn't that interesting? You know something? God has a yoke designed for each one of us. He has a yoke. Now, this is no joke. He has a yoke for each one of us. And he has made it just designed for us. And we just are yoked to him. And you got this little oxen with this big oxen. Which one do you think's doing the work? Huh? Who do you think? Come on. Big guy. A little guy, he's just going alongside. He's pulling his weight. That's what God does with us. But when we try to break out of the yoke, which an oxen can't do, but we can do, then we're in trouble. We say, I don't like this. I don't like this yoke he's put. Yes, he's done it for a reason. Your yoke to him. So he says, take my yoke upon me, speaks of decision. In other words, seeking then
then that's looking to him, and then learn of me speaks of development. Learn, not only look to me, but learn of me. How do you learn of him? You look to him by being yoked. Now you're going to learn from him. How do we learn? I'm glad you asked me that question. Turn with me, the first three thoughts. How do we learn to have rest in our soul? Three thoughts. One, we must live in the Spirit. Two, we must labor in the Spirit. And thirdly, we must be lowly in the Spirit. Look at the first thought here with me, if you will, please. Live in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Turn there with me for a moment. Look at chapter 5 and verse 25. If we what? Live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. You know what that means? That means to get God's thoughts. Live in the Spirit. Now that's a capital S for the Holy Spirit who works through our human spirit so we can have communion with God, so we are thinking God's thoughts instead of our feelings in control, doing what we want to, you know, being depressed, being discouraged, being bitter, being fill in the blank. But we must not only live in the Spirit, and here is where the rubber meets the road. Are you ready for this? There's no instant spiritual growth. You ready for this? You got to work at it. Because you not only live in the Spirit, but you labor in the Spirit. If you want to know, listen, in order to know God, you've got to, what's the word, learn? Is that what he said? Learn of me? You're not. And that's a strong word there. You're not going to learn without labor. Turn with me to 2 Timothy for a moment there. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy and verse 15. Now, I like this. Now, here in verse 15, you know what our problem is today? We are so instant-oriented. Everything is instant today. We have Panapeans in our home right now. We have two that are going to attend Ambassador Baptist. By the way, I told you last week there are 9 new ones. There are 10 new ones. They bought a long-haired rabbit while I was gone. And now we, and his name is Cato IHOP Keeling. You will pray for me, won't you? But anyway, my point is, I don't know what my point was, but anyway, my point is we need to labor in the things of God. But anyway, yes, the Marilyn said to these two Micronesians who have never gotten off the island of Pohnpei, they said, they're looking at it. What is that? It's a dishwasher. They've never seen a dishwasher before. You know what the dishwasher is in Pohnpei? You. And they said, what do you do with that? And I'm kidding with them. I said, well, that's where we put little Katie and Caleb. When we want to give them baths, we put them in there and I straighten it out. But they don't understand, see? We got everything is instant. We do that so we can rest. And never before have we seen such a tired society. Because they haven't labored to know God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We not only must be living, but laboring. Study. Now, that word study here is a word which means to exert oneself. Can I say it another word? He's talking about, get this, write it down, holy sweat. Holy sweat. Exert yourself to know God. How important that principle is. We want it We want to be fed. We don't want to do it ourselves.
Well, wait, you're talking about rest. Now you're talking about I got to really have holy sweat to work at. Listen, isn't it an oxymoron? The more you know God, which takes work, the less you have to work in your soul because you have rest. Isn't
that interesting?
And so we recognize here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Wait, what? A what? Workman. It need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, get to know truth. Get to know truth. You know what our problem is? How many believe this book is the truth? You ready for this? I think I read somewhere, but they estimate over 90% of Christians have not read it through. But they call it truth. Isn't that interesting? They don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know truth. This is why I appreciate this church so much, because you're working on memory work, getting it off of the pages of Scripture. We have one young lady here today who memorized the whole book of Ephesians. I won't mention Sarah's name, but it's okay. We recognize in order to go to camp. That's a good way to go to camp. Live in the Spirit, labor in the Spirit, be lowly in the Spirit. Turn with me to the book of James. You know what our problem is? Let me tell you this. Pride, P-R-I-D-E, is the godfather of a noisy soul. I think I can do it alone. I don't need God's Word. I don't need to memorize it. I don't need to study it. I hear people that, I like this one. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You ready for this? Yes, you do. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But the word Christian means to be Christ-like. You got to go to church. Oh, but that takes labor, work. I know that. Because in order to get truth, you have to go after truth. He says over in chapter 4 of the book of James, verse 10, what? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know what He means? What He's going to lift you up out of? What? That horrible pit. What is the horrible pit? It's a pit of noise. But you know what? Humble yourself. No one was more humble than our Lord. And then you go back to the text. Learn of me. Learn through living in the Spirit, laboring in the Spirit, being lowly in the Spirit. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Speaks of discovery. You know, Psalm 23, what's the first verse say? The Lord is my shepherd and I what? You know, when you get to know truth, you come to the conclusion in life that all you really need is God. You know, our most people have never discovered that. I shall not want. Like the little girl, I think I told you in the kindergarten class, was asked to quote the 23rd Psalm, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Didn't get it quoted right, but you know, she got the real meaning of the verse. When are we ever going to come to the place in life where we can say, "The Lord is enough. I have Him. I don't need a noisy soul because He is everything I need." Then I finally, I know you like that part best, is the T, is thinking God's thought. Turn with me as we close. The 2 Peter, very important verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to get a hold of this because rest is not only restoring your passion for God because your noise, your heart, your mind has been so noisy that God has not been on your thoughts. Exchanging your load of noise for the Lord of rest. It is taking that load and taking it off by simply fellowshipping with God. And but fellowshipping with God takes time and I'm so busy. I got news for you. He reworks your schedule. Not only do we see restoring your passion and exchanging your load and seeking Him, seeking to be like Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart.
become like him. Humble ourselves. I have to pray. I don't know about you, but I pray, Lord, keep me humble. I'm no big shot. Neither are you. We got too many people think they're big shots in the kingdom of God. Pardon my grammar, there ain't none. Just ain't none. Then think God's thoughts. 2 Peter 1. I devote twice in verse 2 and 3. Very important. Look at verse 3. Verse 2, grace and peace. You know what grace and peace? Listen, you take grace and peace and mix them together. Like you women are baking a cake or something. Mix those two together and guess what you get? Rest in your soul. You're never going to have it without God's grace. Rest, and you can't have rest unless you have peace. And how do you get God's grace and peace? He tells us here in the text. You've got to get truth. He says here in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied in you through what? The knowledge of God. Oh, you could meditate on that thought for a long time, the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, our problem is our people today don't know God. They just don't know God. They know about God, but he wants us to know him. Know him. That word know, knowledge here, comes from the word we get to know by experience. To know him because God is putting you through some things and tests, and he wants you to get rid of the, and know, once you know him more and more, you begin to realize you can't leave repentance dormant over here. You got to deal with it. You become this conclusion that your life is too noisy and you can rest in him. Listen, when I was traveling these last few days, you know, somebody said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. Said, are you tired? I said, which one, the soul or body? Sure, your body gets tired, amen. You don't have to have my soul tired. I just felt energized. I feel good in my soul, because my spirit was dominating me. Knowledge of God. I just began to read scriptures and more and put them in my heart and mind. You know, I got Baptist-tical. Almost did it on an airplane. Not a good place to do it. I just got excited what God's doing. I mean, I got thinking about it. I went from California to, where did I go? Can't remember. Michigan. Yeah. In just a few hours. Man, God did that. Then it dawned on me, I'm going to heaven a lot sooner than that one day. Hello? I had funerals with two people that took a long trip like that. And I got thinking about that. I mean, I'm ready to jump on these pews. But the carols are here, and they will tell everybody that I did that. So, knowledge of God. He'll not only say it in verse 2, look at verse 3, according as his divine power. When you have a knowledge of God, guess what you have? Power. Not your power, but his power. Which given to us all through the pertaining to a life and godliness. What? Through, here it is again, second time, to the knowledge of him that called you to glory and virtue. That's seeking God. It's knowledge. Somebody said to me, have you ever been to the Holy Land? Been there every day. In my spirit. See my wonderful Jesus. Seeking God.